pre-K appropriation subcommittee, pre-K through 12 appropriation subcommittee will come to order. Adrian, will you please call the roll?
Chair Fine.
Here.
Vice Chair Bell.
Here.
Representative Lupus.
Here.
Andrade. Bartleman.
Here.
Bush.
Here.
Fetterhoff.
Here.
Haig.
Here.
McLean.
Here.
Roach.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Trunau.
Here.
Valdez.
Present.
Ranking Member Willite.
Here.
Representative Williams.
Here.
Quorum, sir.
All right, members, please make sure all electronic devices are turned off or are on vibrate. We have a fairly short agenda today. I hope that everyone enjoyed the extra hour of sleep or to get here, particularly given that there was session on Friday. We're gonna start with HB 3401, which is an appropriation project bill that has an amendment, so it could not be, as we saw last time, on the consent agenda. I will present that and hand the gavel over to Vice Chair Bell in a minute. Next, we're gonna do our consent agenda for the 7 appropriations project bills that are on the agenda. And then once we're done with all of our bills, you'll get to hear another exciting presentation from me, this time basing on the learnings that we have made on state and federally funded reading initiatives. So that is what we're gonna do today. I don't think we'll even need the whole hour, but it depends certainly on the questions that folks have. So with that, we're gonna hear HB 3401, the Northwest Florida 21st Century Workforce Development Project. It's by Representative Stevenson. She is chairing another meeting that started at 10 a.m. So I will be presenting this bill for her. So I'm going to turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Bell.
Thank you, Chairman Fine. And you are recognized to present HB 3401. There is one amendment, which is barcode 289. Okay.
Hey, we're still getting there. So
we're getting there. Thank you.
We'll keep going. No, it's all good. All right, this bill is requesting $975,000 to continue the efforts to increase access to educational programs, to build interest and prerequisite skills for high-demand STEM careers in Northeast Florida in collaboration with school districts and other after-school programs. Efforts will focus on those underrepresented in STEM careers, and there is one amendment.
There is one amendment, which is barcode 289269. Chair Fine, you are recognized to present the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment changes the title of the project from the Northwest Florida 21st Century Workforce Development Project to the Northeast Florida 21st Century Workforce Development Project, and that is the amendment.
Are there any questions on the amendment? Okay. Is there any public testimony on the amendment? We have no public testimony. Is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing no objection, show amendment 289269 adopted. We're back on the bill as amended.
Still you. Oh.
Is there public testimony? No appearance card submitted. Is there any debate? No debate. We'll move on. Chair Fine, you're recognized to close on House Bill 3401.
Wave close.
Thank you. Adrian, would you please call the roll?
Chair Fine?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bell?
Yes.
Representative Lupus?
Yes.
Andrade? Bartleman?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Willite?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
14 yea, the bill passes, ma'am.
Members, by your vote, House Bill 3401, as amended, will be reported favorably. Thank you. And I'll hand the gavel back over to Chair Fine.
Thank you, Vice Chair. With that out of the way, thank you, members, for that. We're now going to take up the consent agenda, and we will vote once on the agenda in its entirety. The public is welcome to testify on any of the bills listed on the consent agenda. Members, we will not take up question, debate, and vote on each of the bills individually. Instead, we will be in questions and debate only once. Remember, you may vote no on any particular bill by submitting a nay vote consent agenda form with the administrative assistant before the vote. Members, in your packet, there is a list of the appropriation project bills. With that said, are there any questions on our appropriation project bills? All right. Is there anyone wishing to provide public testimony? I've got one electronic appearance card. I've got three. Excuse me. They come in late. Sam Wagoner with the Manatee County School District on HB 3685, waves in support. Danny McMillan with the Florida PTA on HB 2205, waves in support. Thank you for being here. Jessica Lewis with the Sierra Club on HB 3811, waves in support. There are no other public appearance cards. Is there debate? All right, seeing none. Before I call the vote on the consent agenda, Adrian, are there any nay vote forms? There are not. All right, so Adrian, will you please call the roll on the consent agenda? Remember, a yes vote signifies an affirmative vote for every bill on the consent agenda.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bell?
Yes.
Representative Lupus?
Yes.
Andrade? Bartleman?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Federhoff?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Willite?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
14 yea, the bill passes, sir.
All right, members, by your vote, all of the bills on the consent agenda will be reported favorably. All right, so that takes care of our bills for the day. We are now going to hear another presentation by me. Again, I've tried to keep you all on this journey I have taken to understand various issues in the budget and potential opportunities. And so rather than kind of keep all of this knowledge in my head, we're trying to share it. So today, we're going to talk about reading, which is something that is obviously a major priority for the speaker and for others, making sure, and should be a priority for all of us. If you can't read, it really doesn't matter. Nothing, you can't really do anything else. And so we're going to talk about state and federally funded reading initiatives, and I will give you a preview. Your motives don't necessarily translate into results. Just because we want to do something that is good and honorable and right, sometimes that's used as an excuse to create complexity and things that aren't necessarily effective. So let's move on. On state, we're going to first talk about state-funded reading initiatives. There are a number of things that we actually fund at the state level, and I want to talk about each one of these before we move on to federally funded reading initiatives. So that's one of the themes of this presentation. There are lots of initiatives that all intend to do the same thing. So first, the reading instruction allocation. You'll remember we talked about categoricals in our last meeting. This is one of the many categoricals. This one has been in the FEFP for more than 15 years, since the FY 2004-2005 budget. Our current law requires school districts to submit a K through 12 comprehensive reading plan for the specific use of the reading instruction allocation funded in the FEFP. As you'll see in the third bullet, it is $130 million. This is not money that is in the base budget. So when people look at how much we spend per student and they only focus on the base budget, they forget about this $130 million that we put in here just for reading. They're submitted for review and approval by the DOE's Just Read Florida office. The way it's allocated, each school district gets at least $115,000, with the balance allocated on a school district's proportionate share of base FEFP funding. So generally, it's allocated the way we do the FEFP, yet it is not in the FEFP. What can you spend the money on? Well, there's sort of two eligible uses. For our 300 lowest performing elementary schools in the state, based on a three-year average, and we've got those schools listed for you in the packet. You can look up, as I did, you know, what are the schools in my district that you want to know, or your county. The 300 lowest performing elementary schools, based on a three-year average of the state reading assessment, have to take their portion of the money. And by the way, it works out to about $22,000 per school. They have to use that money to provide an additional hour of intensive reading education. But that's only $6.8 million of the $130 million. The rest of the money is generally given to schools to implement their K through 12 comprehensive reading plan. All right, so there is number one reading project to help people read, $130 million, because we need to read. Second one, supplemental academic instruction allocation, another categorical. This one has been around for 20 years, since 1999-2000. budget year, providing supplemental academic instruction to students in K through 12. So we have reading over here, and now we've got supplemental over here, $716 million in this categorical. Again, when people focus on our base, our funding per student, where they typically focus on the FEFP, this is not counted in that calculation as well. It's our second largest state and local funded categorical, and each school district receives a base amount annually adjusted based on their workload. Again, what can they spend this money on? Well, just like the other one, the 300 lowest schools have to spend their money on an additional hour of intensive reading instruction. So we've got two categoricals doing the same thing. That's for 149,000 students, and that's 38 million of that 700 plus million dollars. D or F schools have to use their portion of their allocation to implement intervention and support strategies, and everybody else has to use their allocation on eligible uses, including, again, reading instruction and after-school instruction and tutoring. So another big pile of money focused on reading, and again, not counted in the base FEFP. All right, now this is not a categorical, but this is a project that those of us like Representative Will Height and myself, who have been here for a couple of years, we passed this in 2018-19. We created another school choice program. And unlike a lot of our school choice programs, this isn't to send you to another school. This is a program that was established for students in grades 3 through 5 who are in a public school and didn't do well at reading. So again, we've got reading help 1, reading help 2. This is reading help number 3. If you scored below a level 3 on the grade 3 or grade 4 standardized ELA test, you are eligible. And again, the parent or the guardian has to go and ask for it. It's not automatic, but there's a $500 scholarship that can be obtained to help with reading, that can be spent on materials, curriculum, tutoring, summer reading programs, after school reading programs. Sounds like a good idea, but the market has not shown it to be all that in demand. As you'll see, the 3 years that we have funded this, we've never remotely used all of the funding that was available for people to go and get the $500 scholarships. In the first year, $2.8 million used out of $10 million. Second year, $3.4 million out of $7.6 million. And in the third year, $1.4 million out of $7.6 million. So the parents out there whose children have not scored on the assessments to the level they could have not, I mean, some have, but they have certainly not fully taken advantage of this opportunity, in addition to the first program and the second program. And now we have this program. Okay, so if we didn't have enough state-level programs to help people with their reading, now we have some federal reading programs, because if reading is important, let's have more programs. And so we're going to talk in the next few slides about reading initiatives that we're using the Federal CARES Act for. And so remember, this is the money that we got from the federal government to help with COVID-related expenses. The $700 million we've talked a little bit about in this committee. We have not talked about the $2.8 billion that hasn't been spent yet. And as those of you who are watching, it seems fairly likely the federal government will borrow another $1.9 trillion from the same people they claim to want to help in order to do things, including reading. We will get billions and billions of more dollars to quote unquote help with COVID. All right, so what are some of these federal programs? Because 3 wasn't enough. So what's number 4? Upskill highly effective reading coaches. This will build capacity and upskill literacy coaches in the field throughout development of a literacy coach certification for up to 2,000 coaches. So now we're going to focus on schools in one allocation and another allocation. We're going to have a reading scholarship. And now we're going to get 2,000 coaches on top of it to engage a university or other entity with capacity and proven track record to deliver the type of training to lead the certification. $5 million of this COVID funding has been allocated to this, and none of it has been spent. Program number, this would be 5? All right, capacity building for reading. So now we've got the first 4 aren't enough. Here's our 5th one. DOE is going to contract with the Lassinger Center to create a literacy matrix, because that's going to be the trick that gets us over the finish line, providing more high-quality reading endorsement pathways by increasing educator knowledge for teachers to earn a reading endorsement, implement best standard science of reading, and provide more literacy coaching through regional training by statewide regional literacy directors. Because we've got the scholarships and the categoricals. Now let's get some literacy directors, because that's going to solve our problem. $5 million allocated, none spent. All right, and then so here is the reading supports, 21 regional literacy directors in 16 regions, serving for 2 years. No other job other than dealing with literacy. These directors will support professional development, coaching models, statewide monitor data, all kinds of things going on with reading. $5 million allocated. Actually, a little bit of this money has been spent, about 10%, and you can see where the money is. And where it has been spent in those counties over to the right. Just a blizzard of programs all intended to help with reading. All right, another one. I actually asked about this one, if you'll remember, when we had the department in here, because I was a little curious what it had to do with COVID. But ensuring the best curriculum for reading and civics, another program to tackle that reading challenge. Because, you know, if six are good, why not have seven? DOE is going to engage all districts and schools in the identification and adoption of Florida's new best standards, aligned curriculum and supplemental instructional materials to drive teaching and learning, grades K through three. They'll get high-quality reading curriculum, evidence-based, focused on those schools that have the greatest achievement gap, because the other programs apparently aren't doing enough, and implement for K through three students who, again, have a reading deficiency, I guess aren't taking advantage of those $500 scholarships that are out there, and so they're getting tier two, tier three instructional supports. $24 million for this, I can't even keep track now. If we're on number eight or nine, $18,000 of it has been spent. All right, so other than COVID being the greatest boon for public education financing in the history of public education, there's a few takeaways I have for this, and then I will answer questions. The first is there are significant state and federal funds appropriated and allocated for a whole host of reading initiatives, and many of them aren't being used. You know, I mean, as you can see, there were fairly low take-up on some of them. Two categoricals in the FEFP require the same 300 low-performing schools to use their categorical funds for the exact same purpose, and specifically focusing on the reading scholarship account, 1% of the people who could participate in this program are taking advantage of it. 99% of parents and guardians do not choose to take advantage of this program that would help their children with literacy. So there's a 1% adoption rate. So a lot of programs all aimed at the same issue. With that, are there any questions? Yes, Ranking Member Wilhite, you're recognized. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Fine, and thank you, Ranking Member Wilhite. My question is, you mentioned that, and I understand the word that parents choose not to participate. And I wonder, is it really because they choose not to participate or they're not made aware of these programs that are available to parents? So my question is, and I'm not sure what the answer is, and I don't know if anyone here, maybe staff might know, what kind of marketing have we done to share with the parents that these options are available? Is it basically the responsibility of the school districts to disseminate that information, or does it fall upon the responsibility of the Department of Education? I'm not sure, Chair Fine.
Sure. So Step Up for Students, who administers the program, obviously as should be marketing it, and they do market other things. And then obviously the local school districts have that opportunity to share that with their students. Whatever's going on, we're 3 years into this or 4 years into it,
right?
And at least in that one, you know, the people aren't busting down the doors to take advantage of that program. So I don't think it's being hidden from anyone, because this program, there's really no, you can understand, and I'm not saying they do it, but you could understand why a school district, for example, might not promote a school choice scholarship that took them out of the school system, because they might not want, right, to lose the student. This doesn't take away any funding from them. So there's no structural incentive for them to hide the ball. You know, it's $500 for the student. It doesn't come out of their out of their state budget. Whereas if it's like a, hey, there's a scholarship to go to a private school, you know, they would lose the funding for that student. So there's no incentive for them not. And frankly, there's every incentive too, because we hold schools that don't perform well accountable. So if I was a school that was trying to improve, I certainly would make sure parents knew about it. So if the school districts aren't marketing to their full extent, that's a failure on their part, because this is a tool that theoretically could help them up that number.
Well, and the issue with marketing.
Want to follow up?
Yeah.
Okay, you're recognized.
Thank you. Just in conversation with, and not so much question, but just so much in conversation, is that considering that school districts do not really have marketing dollars in their budget set aside to market, it's kind of difficult. I can see that. I wish that we could help promote this information outside of just the step up, right? The being solely charged of marketing this because of what you just mentioned. And I think that that's a very well-intended opportunity for our families to take advantage of. And I wish that we could just market a little bit better for them on their behalf from the state level, so that then all of those other nuances of, well, this might be a voucher choice or whatever, just gets taken out of the way, because at the end of the day, we all agree that it's about making sure that our children are reading. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure, and I don't know that I agree with the presumption of the question. I only know my school district, and I see everything through the lens of my child who's in the public school. But for my son's public school, I get emails, I get robocalls, I see stuff on Facebook. We get letters in the mail. So they've got no shortage. Now, maybe Brevard County's doing a better job than the other 66 districts at this. I have no reason to think that they are, but they've got no shortage of ways to reach me as a parent. Now, my sons wouldn't qualify for any of this, but they've got no shortage of ways to reach out, and I would assume the other districts have the same. I don't know that there's a funding of marketing issue. Yep. Representative Williams, you're recognized with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And pretty much on the same line of Representative Valdez, the $500 scholarship for the students, it mentions on here that you're able to use your money or the $500 for a reading program. Would the parents have the choice of choosing where they would like that child to take that reading course, or where would they would like to go to summer school, after school, or their
yes.
choice?
Yeah, yes, it's like an account. And they have wide discretion on how they spend that money.
Follow up?
Yes.
Okay. Outside of them choosing where they would like to go to school, will this be broken down or is all together? Say I take a class now for, like college students, they take a class that costs $100 and there's an additional $400 remaining. Can they break it up or it's all together?
Yes. I mean, it's an account.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lupus is recognized. You've got a question?
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, great presentation. As you're going through the numbers, I was just thinking about all of the local initiatives that are also happening focused on reading and all of the philanthropic initiatives that are happening around reading. And I guess my concern is not so much around the amount of money being spent on reading, because I think it is a priority, but I do think that there is a serious question for all of us, and I'm not asking, I don't know if you have a response, fantastic, but around coordination of all of these programs, because as you can tell, there are so many entrance points, whether it be federal, state, county, or philanthropic.
I agree. Thank you, Representative Lupus. I agree with you, and it's part of the reason for this presentation. I remember when I sat on this committee 4 years ago as a freshman, and it feels like we had a lot more projects then, and then we actually heard them one at a time. And I don't know if my great budget chief remembers, but it felt like we would hear, and I'm just talking about everything. It would be the Florida Project for Literacy, and then it would be the Sunshine State Project for Literacy, and we would have like 100 projects that all felt like they had the same title and same subject, all trying to do the same thing. I think the purpose here is sort of motivation and desire does not equal competence and efficiency. And so I'm not saying, look, reading is, I think, the most important thing you learn in school. I can't let my seventh grader know that because I tell him it's math. But I think it's probably the most important thing. And I'm not saying we don't want to make sure every student reads. I just think throwing money at it and having the umpteenth program to focus on it, you know, just because we care, you know, caring does not equal results. And I think you see examples here of just unnecessary complexity, which probably in the end doesn't get us a whole lot, except it does employ a lot of people to manage these programs. Yes, Representative Bartleman, you're recognized with a question.
Thank you, Chair. I would ask, I don't know if staff can provide this, but I know that one good use of funding is the lowest 300, and it's an issue for school boards across the state because when they do get that money, you can actually collect the data of the schools and see the turnaround and how they're successful with that. But once they're turned around, that money is taken away and a lot of them fall back because that money does provide tremendous support for the tier two and the tier three kids. So that data would be helpful because that money is definitely well spent if you look at the scores that go up and then look at how they go down when you withdraw that money.
Great question. We can look into that. I think it would be important to know that of the $716 million, in this example, they spend $38 million on this. The local politicians certainly could take some of the $680 million that's left to make sure once those 300 schools are out that they stay out. So, again, we've mandated that $38 million be spent on that. We haven't mandated what they use the 600. Maybe we need to put more mandates on local government to make sure that they keep those schools out once they get out. Maybe all that flexibility is not such a good idea. Additional questions? Yes, Ranking Member Wilhite, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, a lot of things I talk about and I've talked about with you, obviously are personal things and I've made connections or obviously know the exact information about it when it comes to this personal aspect. Just this last year, I applied for my son. It took quite a while, quite a process to get through to get the funding. And we were reimbursed under the Reading Scholarship account because my son, the one that I tell you is getting A's now at homeschooling, was his grade below three. And so we took advantage of it for tutoring. We were reimbursed the money. But I will tell you what, but with me knowing what I'm involved in and engaged as I am, I would tell you when I look at the Palm Beach County schools and I look at the number of ones that are on here that they reference in here, a lot of or a majority of these schools are in our socioeconomically challenged area. And so I would say if there's a student that has a three or below, and it's especially in a socioeconomically challenged area, there may not be as much parent involvement. And so what I would say to Representative Valdez's point is, if we have that, who is the burden or the onus falling short on? As the parent, the school board, or us allocating the money to make sure that it's not used in the right places? And if that's the case, then I think it comes to the fact that I think your idea in your conversation today is maybe a little streamlining, and I can absolutely understand that. That streamlining aspect should come to how we target those parents or those students that are in those areas that need it the most to target it, and money that's not being allocated for some of that marketing and that targeting analysis and getting and pinpointing it down to where those kids that need it, because those kids that are failing or are in that position are failing and falling even further behind, and we're allowing that to happen by just saying the money's not being used. And so, as I say, when I did it this year and I know about it and I've been involved and I went through the whole process and my wife and I worked on it and we went through it, I think it should say that there's a lot that's not happening and people maybe give up too, because I could have given up when they denied us at first because I was done. And that's probably what a lot of people do too, is they just give up. We didn't give up. And so it took us 8-9 months for this process to happen. So I would say that I think the burden should be on us, as you talked about today, streamlining, working on it, and reallocating these funds and making sure that marketing is part of our work that we do to make sure that these kids get the money. Because as you said, and I know you think math, and I've said the same thing to my kids, but reading is the most fundamental thing they'll ever use in their life. And so I think the burden is on us now to try and rework some of these programs. And thank you for your work on this, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And those are great points. And I think we want to hear more offline about your personal experience with this, because maybe it's part of the problem. I think the point is that our motives can get lost in bureaucracy. And so, for example, you know, there is research that shows when it comes to programs that target those in need, those who need it the most generally get it the least. It's those who need it the least take advantage of it the most. And that, I think that's a big part of what you're talking about here. And it's, you know, and there are other programs that we're thinking about that are sort of parent driven, that are nice to haves. And, you know, one can ask, should we be waiting for the parents, or should we just be proactive. I talked about a reading program that I signed up my kids for that's not from the government, when we talked about the program to send books to students. I signed up for it, but you know, how many people don't? And so I think your point is well taken. I just, the purpose of this is to say, motive and desire does not necessarily, it creates complexity and does not necessarily create results. I don't think anyone here disagrees with, we should spend money to make sure kids can read. I just wanna make sure that we're being efficient, streamlined, making it easy, and not just creating big bureaucracies that confuse and frustrate people. So that's my thought process. Yes, Representative Williams, you're
right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, again. I'm sorry, I didn't, I'm responding back to Representative Wilhite, ranking member. If it takes me 10 months to receive this $500 scholarship, I am gonna be an additional year behind if I'm already struggling. Is it something that we could do or put in place, as he stated, about making sure that if someone is applying for it and my child is a struggling reader, that I can immediately receive that $500 to assist that child for reading?
I think it's something we'll look into, because I mean, look, you know, sometimes people often ask, is the juice worth the squeeze? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I have to fill out 1,000 pieces of paper to get a $500 scholarship, I might just go, eh, as opposed to say, I might jump through more. I will tell you, some of these, some of the scholarships that Step Up offers, it is not, the this one may be unique, but some of them, it's not hard, the burden. I've had to look into one for a constituent, and it was not very hard. There's not a lot of bureaucracy. So maybe this one has some, and we can look into that. My point on all of this is just look at all the different programs we have, and every program we have is going to have its own set of bureaucracy to implement, its own set of issues. I always found in my businesses, if you do a few things really well, it's better than trying to do 50 things and kind of scatter your efforts around. So this isn't about spending more or spending less. It's really about, are we making it as streamlined and simple and efficient so that it's easy for parents, it's easy for schools, it's easy for teachers, it's easy for students. That's really the focus here. Additional questions? Yes, Representative Bartleman, you're recognized.
The $500, is there any data collection to follow up to see if it's effective? Because on a lot of these reading programs, we are able to follow up and see which children are reading on level. Is there any data on how those children perform, or whether or not their degreed teachers providing that that tutoring, or is it just could be anyone or a licensed tutoring agency?
I'm not aware of any data. I think the thing I wanted to show on this is that, you know, there's a lot more opportunity for people to take advantage of it than were, and maybe it's because it's too hard to get, but I'm going to look into that. But you know, the idea here, and again, this was a program that was passed through legislation just to create this program, but I don't know that anyone's tracking those students and how they're doing, because I don't know, to be perfectly honest, I don't know that the school districts even know what student. I mean, this is managed by Step Up directly, and I don't know if, you know, in the case of Ranking Member Wilhite, I don't know that the Palm Beach School Board knows that his son is even in it, let alone has the ability to take advantage. But we'll look into that and say, are they, you know, you got a couple years now. Is there any data to show that these students are benefiting from it? We'll look into it. Yep, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I think also when I was discussing the ones that I know have a really good impact, the reading programs, I think you've done a really great job presenting us with everything. And I think when you had the superintendents in to let us know what they were doing, I think it would be nice to hear which programs they find, you know, they think, because it's categorical, of course. So what works best and what's working in your school system, to hear what's happening boots on the ground. Like, that would help with some of this, since we're trying to make streamlined decisions so we don't have any unintended consequences at the district level, you know? So I would love to have more discussion on that when we get further into this.
I agree. And by the way, by that argument, if we care about what superintendents say is good and what's effective, that is an argument to get rid of categoricals and just put the money in the base student funding
where the superintendents get to make those decisions on their own. So, and that is part of the discussion here about complexity. So, you know, if we choose to eliminate a few categoricals, implicitly we're saying, we don't need to hear what you think is a good idea. We're just gonna give you the money and you can figure it out. We trust you to figure it out on your own.
Thank you, Chair.
Any other questions? All right, I think this is our shortest meeting, but we do get to meet again this week. So thank you all for being here early for a 10 a.m. meeting. No one was less happy to be here this early than me, given what I had to do this weekend. But we have a second meeting this week on Wednesday, March 10th, from 1:30 to 2:30. It is only an hour. The agenda for that meeting will come out this afternoon. Yes, Ranking Member Wilhite, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Point of personal privilege, I just want to thank you publicly for the agenda and the content of today's consent agenda. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You are welcome. Representative Lupus, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to congratulate you this weekend. Your son was bar mitzvahed, so congratulations, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was great. He did a great job. Fortunately, being a bar mitzvah is about being able to speak in public for 3.5 hours, as I said in the speech, where I got to give a speech about him. Fortunately, it was about speaking. If he had to run fast, he would have had a problem since he's my son. So it went quite well. And thank you. Thank you for that. We're very, very proud of him. All right, with that, members, this concludes our committee agenda. Seeing that there is no further business, Vice Chair Bell moves we rise.